Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. I entitled this show 2020, Who Raised You? Hi, I'm Shanae Green Dowdell, and I am sitting around here in my house about to write some chapters, and I'm just thinking, who raised this year? Like, where did it come from? I have been in a tailspin since probably about February 10th. Yeah, it was around the 10th. It was closer to the first of the month, maybe the 8th, 9th, or 10th of February, when I caught the worst cold ever known to man. And now I know and believe in my heart that it was the coronavirus. I was sick as a dog. I laid on the sofa coughing and could barely cough. I mean, it was horrible. And I just felt terrible. And so did my husband. He got sick a few days later. My grandson, he was breathing something terrible. And I think my oldest grandson, it missed him. At least as far as symptoms show. And we were just having a bad year. I mean, we started off really, really bad. And that cold, even though we didn't have the bad symptoms after a few weeks, it lingered on. The weakness and the, you know, coughing, just barely, hardly being able to catch a breath, that lingered on to like mid-April. So, this has been a tough year. And I worked in a tax office the first part of the year, and one of my people working in the office with me, the office manager, she actually was told by her doctor that he was going to treat her as if she had the coronavirus because she had pneumonia and they didn't have the appropriate testing. I think at that time, to get a test, you had to, it was so many things that you had to have, but now, of course, you can just go and get a test if you need one or if you feel like you want one. But at the time, the testing was so sparse that she had to have a whole lot, long list of things in order to be able to go get a test. So basically, her doctor just told her he was going to treat her as if she had the coronavirus. And I do believe that we had the coronavirus at that time, and we just didn't know what it was. And so in March, when we start hearing about all of these, you know, people getting sick and the coronavirus being a real thing that is like picking up in America, it was like, oh my God. And it's like we've been in a some kind of apocalyptic chamber. It's been like we really did in our house try our best to quarantine and staying at home, safe and social distancing, just trying to stay away and keep all the germs away. For one, my husband has a compromised immune system, and we can't, chance being out and catching the coronavirus. Early on, I didn't know anybody who had the coronavirus, who was tested positive for the coronavirus, I should say. But recently, family members, my grandson's father and a few people on my granddaughter's side, they've had the coronavirus. So it's coming closer to the, you know, to the family where you can see, oh yeah, people do have it and what have you. So I'm trying my best. We're all trying our best to stay healthy and what have you. But I'm really hoping that what we had in February in our house was the coronavirus and that we won't see any more effects of it this year. Fingers crossed on that. So with that being said, I hope you guys are all out there being safe and that you are well and that this year is not too hard on you. That's the virus part of it. Then there's the racism debate or racism the marches to end racism, the Black Lives Matter movement, and all of that. That's really, really, really impacting me, I know for sure, and I'm sure a lot of people. Is just really wearing down on us, and also giving hope at the same time, because there are a lot of things that I don't agree with that are happening. For example, like the Angel Mama, you know, did we really have to end her? That was, I mean, I understand the use of her caricature back in the day, and I also understand, you know, just the use of her, the older image of Angel Mama, and the fact that she died a maid and didn't make a lot of money. I disagree wholeheartedly that her work should be erased, though. I think that it shouldn't be erased. I think that she should be, her family should be given money, in sort of reparation, so to speak, for all that Angel Mama, the original, and even the second one, gave. If the Angel Mama contract, original Angel Mama contract, as a person who let this syrup company use her likeness, I think that that contract needs to be reviewed and making sure that she was given her fair pay, and estimate that in today's dollars, and give that to her family, any descendants, living descendants in her family. I think that would have been the most appropriate thing for PepsiCo to do, and instead they decided to end it. I'm not sure that that's, you know, the way to honor Angel Mama and all the work that she put in. All right, and so that's my thought on Angel Mama, but then we have so much more. Aside from the Ahmaud Arbery thing that happened, I'm glad that they arrested the officers involved. No, they weren't even officers. They were just fake officers, pretend cops. I'm glad they arrested the pretend cops in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Happy to see that the officers in George Floyd's case were arrested. I saw something very, very disturbing today. It was a young man who was in Colorado, and he was, if I had to say, I would say he was kind of on the slow side. Like, cops need to have some kind of training on how to deal with people who may be mentally impaired. They treat everybody the same. They roll up on you, bark off the commands. You don't do it fast enough, you get body slammed, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I know that not all cops are like that. And it's a lot of time has to do with the department, like the actual leadership. Then, of course, every leadership could have some standalones who decide to do things their way. But I think a lot of it has to do with the culture of the department. I can say I haven't had that many run-ins with the police here in my city. Usually it's been a long time since I got a ticket. I mean, but if anything, that's what it would be for. Back in my 20s, I would get a ticket for basically being poor because you can't fix your taillight or something like that. But I think that it has to do with the culture. I haven't studied this, so I don't want to give like a, oh, I know what it is. See, that irks me. It's a lot of people running around giving out a lot of opinions, and it's still based on their feelings, not facts. So whenever somebody tells you something, make sure you double-checking it and give facts, like hard facts, the data. That's why I follow Tone Talk on YouTube, because he gives out and usually pull out pie charts and different charts that give you statistics that have been verified, so that you, when you making a statement, you can say, okay, yeah, that's a factual statement right there. But you know, there are some police departments who have a culture of abuse, and you know it's a culture of abuse because it's something that happens continually out of that department. But anyway, with this young guy, and man, I hate that I'm not saying his name, but young guy out of Colorado, his name is Elijah McClain. He was basically attacked by police. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was walking down the street with a ski mask on, holding a bag in August of last year, 2019. And from what people say, he was anemic, so that's why he was wearing the mask. He was the kind of guy who liked to play a violin to animals because he didn't want the animals to feel lonely. He was approached by the police, but he was wearing headphones at the time, so he did not hear them give him any orders like stop walking, put your hands up. And by the time he realized the police were talking to him, they were already in dog salivation mode, and they attacked him, and he was trying to defend himself by saying, leave me alone, don't attack me, you know, I'm not that type of person. He was saying all kinds of things, but he wasn't following their orders. And so they put him in, he ended up in a chokehold, and they choked him out until he went unconscious. Well, a ambulance came, and the ambulance worker administered ketamine. He was only like 160 pounds, and I think they gave him enough ketamine for a person 220 pounds, and within 3 days, he was brain dead. So when I read that today, I was physically numb. This is another thing that Sean King brought up today. I think it was today or recently. This case, follow Elijah McCain's case, look at the video, read the articles. There's no way you can walk away from that feeling the same. Like, I was literally numb for a few minutes. Like, I couldn't process a thought. It was like, I don't get it. I don't get how you can be walking down the street 1 minute, not doing anything, not committing a crime, and the next minute you're injected with ketamine and the police have choked you out. And you know what I'm saying? And then think about being mentally incapable of letting them know what's going on, or mentally incapable of following the orders in the way that they told you to do it. And I, you know, it's sad. I mean, it's a catch-22. No, it's not a catch-22. I just believe the police were wrong in this situation. I believe that they could have determined by just listening to him speak that, hey, this guy's off a little bit. Maybe we need to back up and just, you know, once we determine he doesn't have a weapon on him, maybe we need to back up and just listen. You know what I'm saying? And just talk to him and figure out what's going on here. Again, no crime had been committed. They weren't responding to a crime. Somebody and got suspicious of him because he had on a ski mask. And so, you know, I don't know. It's two things to that. I mean, as parents, we probably need to tell our kid, yeah, I know you're anemic and everything, but you can't walk down the street with that ski mask. We have to do things that'll get our kids back home. At the same time, you know, I really do believe police officers are paid well enough to have a better responsibility for people, you know, for the and responsibility and care for human life. After all, their job is to protect and serve. And so I said all that to say, I mean, this has been a rough year. I don't know who raised 2020. I know it's a political year. It's a year that the presidency is up for grabs, and I know that both sides want to get in really bad, and we're going to get ran through the psychological ringer before it's over. So that's it. I just came for a quick 2020. I wanted to say, hey, I miss you guys, what's going on, but I ended up doing some of the police stuff and politics that's been going on. But I do want to say I appreciate you guys who are my reader base, and to have a great rest of the 2020, as great as you can make it. Goodbye.